Waiting for the mayor to leave, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner, you look tan.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of the council, each Wednesday morning, I ask the question, how are the children? And the reason that I ask that is I know that when our children are well in a community, our community is well. So each week we have folks come in to talk with us about issues affecting children and young people. And this morning we have Summer Carter. She's 12 years old and goes to Ockley Green. Summer, could you please come forward? She's a member of Troop 60 from the Girl Scouts Beyond Bars Troop of Portland's Columbia River Council. This is kind of interesting. One footnote on this said that when asked what she would like Mayor Potter to know about her, Summer reportedly replied, "I'm awesome." So, Summer, thank you very much for being here. And would you, whatever you'd like to tell her at this council, please do.
Like you said, I'm Summer Carter. I am awesome. I've been in Girl Scouts for about 2 or 3 years. I was just, my mom got released in 2004, I think it was. So we've kind of been involved in Girl Scouts since then. So, yeah.
And what's your areas of interest and what do you want to do when you get to be an adult?
I want to be a zoologist when I grow up. Yeah. I love animals.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And have you got your college picked out where you want to go?
No, not yet. I don't plan that far ahead.
Well, what about, you go to Ockley Green, what about your school? Do you like your school? Do you think there's some issues there?
Well, there's a lot of people there. There's about 600 kids, and this year it just became a K-8 school. I like it because it's diverse, and I love to learn a lot about world culture, so that's the place to do it. And there's a lot there's not much funding, so at one point we couldn't afford white paper. So, yeah, it kind of sucks, but I like that school because there's a lot of good teachers there.
Mm-hmm. And how many kids are in your class?
There was 32.
32. Well, that must be hard for the teacher to get around to each of the students and talk to them, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good. Okay, this is, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
About Girl Scouts?
Well, yeah, why don't you talk about Girl Scouts? You haven't said much about that.
Girl Scouts is great. It's a good program because it lets girls see their moms in prison more often. Like, if it wasn't for Girl Scouts, I would have seen my mom every other Saturday of the month. And with Girl Scouts, I got to see her even more. And I think it was every other Saturday, but there was other stuff, like we did arts and crafts. We went to camps, all sorts of activities that were free usually, so, yeah.
Good. So who brought you down here today?
Anita Noble.
And how do you know her?
She is a part of Girl Scouts also. She's the coordinator, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so she conducts a lot of it.
Good.
She is also awesome.
Well, I happen to agree you are an awesome young lady.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today. Let's give her a hand.
Thank you,
Summer. Come back and visit us again, will you?
Okay.
Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Stone? Potter?
Here.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 851, request of David Morrison to address Council regarding the persistent contrails in the skies over Portland. He has to reschedule.
And 852?
Request of Jean Anstein to address Council regarding the persistent contrails In the Skies Over Portland. She is also rescheduling.
Okay. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Commissioners, Eric Sten's office has asked to have items 873 and 876 returned to Commissioner Sten's office. Does any person in this room wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 853, Bureau Innovation Project 12, Improve Maintenance Delivery Systems.
Please come forward, folks. This is a really exciting project, and it's required the work of many people from many bureaus, and I am very pleased to have them turn in their report today because of the things that they have been able to do. They've done an incredible job. Thank you all for that, and whoever wishes to start.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. This represents the result of...
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Mike Stewart. I'm the Chief Engineer of the Water Bureau. On my left is Suzanne Kahn from the Maintenance Bureau, and on my right, John Hunt from City Fleet. So what we're here to report on today is the Bureau Innovation Project 12 report, and it represents the work of, I think in the subcommittees that I've listed, 35 or 36 people, but in reality, there's probably hundreds of people that have been involved in various aspects of this project. Our tasker was to improve maintenance delivery, look at customer service, and seek efficiencies wherever we could find it. And we worked for several months and came up with 6 recommendations to work on. That was last September. They were approved by the implementation team committee. And what we're going to do this morning is run down these recommendations and tell you what we've been able to accomplish and then make a recommendation for the future. And my 2 cohorts are free to kibitz as you wish. So if you turn to the second page of the handout, Recommendation 1, Paving Program, I'll just step through these programs real quickly and give you a little update on what's going on. The Paving Program is a pilot program that was really created by the workers in the Maintenance Bureau and the Water Bureau to improve our paving operation and really to free up Water Bureau maintenance crews to do water work instead of paving. This thing truly came from the ground up. It was also part of the Leadership Institute project that one of our fellows engaged in with the Maintenance Bureau, and it has been actively working for well over a year, probably almost 2 years. I think it's a really key initiative in that it came from the workers themselves. We've done some really creative things here. We've shared equipment. The Water Bureau has bought pieces of equipment for use by the Maintenance Bureau because they are specifically needed for our particular type of work. And it's such an intense program that we have monthly meetings of the Maintenance Bureau's paving crew and the Water Bureau's construction and maintenance supervisors to keep the program on track. We're very proud of the results of this particular program. It's about $200,000 at this point under what we'd budgeted. I don't claim any great cost savings because we're actually spending more money. The reason we're spending more money is the Water Bureau crews are not doing paving. They're doing Water Bureau maintenance work. And so the net is that we spend more money, but it's done more efficiently. We've got right people doing right things. This program is underway now and kind of continues on of its own accord. Things we're doing in the future on this thing is Suzanne is relatively new to this process, as is Eric Peterson, and they're being brought up to speed, but the work continues, and we anticipate it will continue. The second one is increased utilization and services of Sunderland Recycling Yard. This is another, I think, really tremendous program that was dreamed up initially by workers, not by management, to recycle products that the city picks up on the street, or those of us who have to dig the streets up for a variety of reasons, we actually generate quite a bit of rubble. It was a multi-bureau study. You can look and see the team of people. It's a large team of folks that have been working on this thing. It involves Sunderland Yard. Most of you are familiar with Sunderland Yard. It's been expanded. It's really a fantastic operation. If you've never been out there, I would encourage you to go take a look. Things that we've done over the past year, Jill Jacobson from PDOT runs the yard. She's an excellent salesman. She's worked with the Office of Sustainable Development, BES, the Water Bureau, and others to actually design products from what they produce at the yard and to market these products around the city. In the past years, the Maintenance Bureau has actually dealt with leaves and so on from other cities. This past year, they didn't do that because they were redesigning the yard and putting in a scale so they could measure what it was they were doing and possibly sell it, so they didn't pick up stuff from Gresham and Hillsboro. But I think this is a tremendous program. Things that are going on right now that we're working on is ways that the Water Bureau might be able to use. They pick up a lot of concrete debris when you redo the streets, and they rubbleize that and turn it into aggregate, and we have to test that before we want to use it to bury the pipes in because it may contain heavy metals. But we're working on a testing program to see if we might be able to use that for backfill around the pipes. But again, another, I think, really excellent effort by a very large number of people across the city. The third recommendation that we worked on was something called centralized utility locate notification. All utilities are required by both federal and state law to locate their facilities for others. Any contractor, you as a homeowner, technically, if you stick a shovel in the ground, you're supposed to call for locates. And the purpose is to keep the utilities from being damaged with the consequent impact to large numbers of citizens, depending upon what you hit. In the past, we pay the Oregon Utility Notification Center. It used to be something like 95 cents a ticket. This is a thing that's run by the state government. There is a board on which the city of Portland is a member of the board of this thing, and it's run by a contractor. So when someone calls the 800 number for a locate, the contractor's got a computer program and they produce these things we call tickets. It's a notice saying you must go locate your facility at such and such a place. And we used to pay for three sets of those tickets, which may be about $100,000 or so. And we thought that we have computer programs and so on in the city, PDOT has one, that we could use internally and only pay for one set of locate tickets. Over the past year, we've run a test on that, worked out all the arrangements with the Oregon Utility Notification Center. PDOT's modified their program to deliver these tickets to the appropriate bureaus. And that thing is going to go live in July. We've been running a parallel test for about 6 months now with no hitches in the get-along. We've been very careful with it because there's liability for this. We are liable for the locates we make or for missing one. So that thing is actively underway and has become the way we do business. The fourth recommendation was interagency vehicle and equipment loan. John Hunt has taken the lead in that, and there's an awful lot of equipment in the city, and at various times may or may not be available for somebody to use, but what we wanted to do was to create a communication means for the various bureaus to seek to borrow or rent, depending on what's appropriate, from another bureau their equipment. And John has done that by creating a team of fleet coordinators from each of the large bureaus. And what was the savings you ginned up on backhoes?
Well, just, yeah, to use a backhoe alone, if you rent from the outside, the least amount of time you can rent it for is 4 hours at $120. So that's roughly $30 an hour, as compared to $22.43 an hour with our own internal rate, and our rate includes fuel. So we'd still have fuel on top of the 30. So, you know, again, just trying to get the best utilization of the existing equipment that we have within the city.
Recommendation 5 was something we called the Maintenance Innovation Incubator. Essentially, this is intended to be like a suggestion program. And as we go along and get to the end of this, this is the item that we want to recommend that we continue. We're desiring to declare victory on the other 5, that they are underway and part of how we do business. But the Maintenance Innovation Incubator is designed to be a means for our workforce to continue to bring good ideas to the table, have folks look at those ideas, analyze them, and decide if we want to do them or not. And right now we're working on creating a set of rules for doing this, a little internal marketing program to market this program inside the bureaus that do maintenance, and create a mechanism for feedback to the employees on what became of their ideas. This thing is kind of in its infancy. We need to create the rules and so on. And our recommendation at the end for this one will be that we continue to do this. Those of us who've been running BIP 12 have agreed that we will continue and morph ourselves into the Maintenance Innovation Incubator and run it for a year and then come back and report to council on what we've managed to do. Number 6, training, coordination, and sharing. This was another multi-bureau task force that involved everybody. We all do a lot of common training for our field forces. There's a lot of specialist training, too. Both the Water Bureau and the Maintenance Bureau have legal certifications that we have to do for water treatment operators, sewer treatment operators, and so on and so forth. But there's a lot of common training, like backhoe operators, like CPR, forklift training, and so on. And this effort was led by Parks Bureau. And what they've done is create a network of training coordinators among the maintenance bureaus, and we basically advertise each other's common training and let anybody attend any of those courses that happen to be convenient. And this one, too, is going to continue. And I think we've basically made it also the way that we're doing business. So to sum up, those are the status of the 6 tasks that we had essentially set ourselves. And our recommendation then to council is that we have basically done our work as BIP 12. We want to morph our current committee into this Maintenance Innovation Incubator, and 12 months from now, provide a report to council on what we've been able to accomplish in the Maintenance Innovation Incubator. Questions?
Did either of the other folks want to make any statements?
Well, John Hunt, City Fleet Manager, and I'd just like to say that after coming on board with the city, I was given the opportunity to be a part of it, and it's been really exciting because, you know, city staff, all the way from those turning the wrench all the way through, have really given great ideas that have been, again, moved into substantial efficiency gains and cost savings for the city, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Suzanne Kahn, what I can say in the 3 months that I've been at the Maintenance Bureau is that employees are very excited about the possibility of sharing their ideas and seeing some tangible result to their work come out of it. And so that's the piece I'm really interested in.
I have a question. Have you, I recently got a briefing on the Lean Manufacturing Coalition's work, the association's work, and thought that it was very useful to what we do, especially in maintenance, which is sort of a form of manufacturing out in the field in many cases. Have you all familiarized yourself with this sort of methodical approach to looking at systems and protocols? And have you looked at that, or if you have not, would you be open to looking at that as a potential approach for moving forward with your committee?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the association that you mentioned in the beginning.
The Lean Manufacturing Coalition. It's a nonprofit that works with companies to sort of squeeze out inefficiencies in their production and in their work processes. I'll email you the the links and the contact information. So I'd like you to take a look at it. If it's something that you think would be useful, great.
And we'd, I'm sure, be happy to do that.
Questions from the commissioners? Now, I really like the recommendation 5 about continuing, and literally continuing to try to achieve even better efficiencies. And I like the also what you did in terms of involving people down in the organization and sort of a bottoms-up approach to finding out what the problems were and how to fix them and how to do a better job of working together. So I'm just totally impressed. And I guess for me the issue is how should we – what would you like to see from the city council in terms of morphing the BIP 12 into this Maintenance Innovation Incubator Committee?
I think, sir, from our point, truth is we all do this because we love doing it. I mean, this is what we do every day, and I think it's sufficient if you just endorse our recommendation and hold us to task to come back and talk to you about what we've managed to accomplish. I think there's a tremendous amount of coordination that goes on that people don't see. I know from your perspective, mostly you hear about big budget battles and all these very hard things that rise to the level of city council to deal with. But at the nuts and bolts level here, we all work very, very closely together to try and make things happen the best way possible. And we can probably all think of good examples. An example I bring to mind is Steve Townsend, the city engineer, and he comes to my monthly project review board meetings. And we do our level best to coordinate our activities, and our workforces are equally invested in trying to find the most efficient ways to do things. So I think we'd be happy campers if you just endorsed our recommendation, and we'll keep doing what we do.
Okay. This is a report, and I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Well, do we have signed-up testimony?
We did. No one signed up.
Okay. And this moved and seconded. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank each of you and all the folks that worked on this project. I want to thank the mayor for initiating the Bureau Improvement Projects. I want to keep you happy campers. And
it's a good thing.
So I am very happy to vote aye. Thank you.
Leonard?
I, too, very much appreciate this work. This is the way that I think we demonstrate to the citizens we work efficiently and work together, and we're team members and we're not adversaries, and this is a great example of that. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank you also and the mayor for authoring this BIP. I think, as you said, that this is kind of the nuts and bolts of what the city does, and to the extent we're doing it in a more collaborative manner across all the bureaus and taking efficiencies of joint trainings and things like that and equipment, this is great stuff. So good work. Aye.
Potter.
And we are endorsing all of your recommendations, including number 5 about the committee, and would ask that you come back in 6 months and let us know what you've been doing.
Will do.
Excellent. Thank you all. You folks just did a tremendous job. And please thank all those folks back in your bureaus for what they've done as well.
Will do.
Aye. Please read the 10 p.m. time certain.
Yeah. Metro Drive Less, Save More campaign.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, I'm pleased to present this report, or to sponsor this report presented by the person who chairs the Joint Policy Committee on Transportation and does a great job at it, which is Metro Councilor Rex Burkhalter, who's going to give us some initial information and findings from the Drive Less, Save More campaign. Councilor.
Good morning. This is Pam Peck of Metro staff, who actually does all the real work, and then we come along behind them, as you know. And we actually probably have to sit over here to run the slideshow. We actually have a little slideshow here to go over what this program is. We gave you some materials there. Good morning. I am Rex Burkhalter with the Metro Council. I am a Metro Council certified transportation geek, and so Mr. Adams and I have something in common besides early morning meetings. Yes. But I want to talk about this program that we've been doing now for a few years and that that Portland is a partner in with over 60 other public and private partners in the metropolitan area. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the program is, some of the context on it, how it's going on, and what's happening in the city of Portland itself, and then how it relates to the other various travel option programs that you sponsor as well. As I said, Portland's been a major sponsor of this activity. It's helped increase our outreach in terms of the campaign's visibility at events and then putting our campaign messages within city materials. And we'll get into this, but the key piece of this program is providing information to the citizens. And so the more avenues that we have where we can direct people to a single site to get information, the better. City of Portland, like I said there, let's see, I'm not going to read the slides. I'm going to hit the pieces that aren't on the slides there because you can read the slides, of course. And the big point here is that we want to thank you for your contribution to this. I'm going to the next piece here. The issues, and these are all too familiar to all of us, is one is that we have increasing congestion in the region. We have 1 million more people moving here in the next 20 or so years. We have limited financial resources to deal with that, including a maintenance backlog that is very high on all our systems. We have concerns about issues like climate change and the impact of our choices in transportation on the environment. Oil and petroleum is becoming increasingly scarce. As you know, you've had your Portland Peak Oil Task Force that has taken that work quite a bit farther than anyone else has. And these are some really big challenges we're facing. Yet despite that, people still need to get to work. They need to get to the store. So how do they get the things they need in a day in a way that helps deal with these issues? And that's the key message and the key behind our work on providing transportation options, because we think that these options programs actually provides the public with real solutions and options that help them save money, reduce the demand on the street, and actually give them more time at home. And part of this is just giving people the information so they can make those choices. So the mission of this program of Drive Less, Save More is to reduce single-person car trips. And that's the key piece of that one. It's just looking at the single-occupancy vehicle and saying, what else could you be doing with this one? And our objective in doing that is increasing the use of transportation options, starting with, and this because this was the brainchild of Commissioner Tom Bryan in Washington County, who helped get the legislature to support funding this, he was looking at suburban dwellers who don't have the richness of options that people living in a more dense community do. And one of the key issues there is, okay, you're going to be in your car because most things need to be reached by the car. How do you use that more wisely? And so that's a key part of the message. And again, remember, over 70% of our trips are actually taken by people by themselves in the car, at least our work trips are. And so how can you help those folks make better choices? And part of that is the trip chaining. And then you also, of course, we talk about riding the bus, max, carpooling, biking, and walking. So this campaign, it's the umbrella, again. There's lots of efforts going on with our transportation management associations, regional transportation options, your travel options program. The question is, do people know about it? And so it's the basic old tenet of advertising is that people don't have a chance to take an opportunity or purchase your product unless they know it actually exists. So it's creating one strategic and synchronized message to draw people in to this, to link them to the travel options information and connect into the programs that each of us have. The program has been consisting mostly of a mass media campaign, billboards, radio spots, television spots. And we've done some research in terms of looking at the reach of that. And that research shows us that 97.9% of adults, I don't know how you get the exact number, but ages 18 and over have heard some message on this on TV more than 21 times. Paid radio has reached over 60% of the listening audience, a minimum of 22 times. Billboards are seen by 150,000 people a month. And then we have earned and paid media, which we've got quite a bit of earned media off of this. There's a lot of attention to this. And then there's an insert this week in the Sustainable Living section of the Portland Tribune and the Associated Community Newspapers that will reach over 176,000 people. And is that?
It's in their packet.
It's in your packet. There's a copy of that in there that you can take a look at that. So the idea is to get a message out there, drive less, save more, and then link people to information that will help. And here the messages are, again, the primary message that you save money. And we did a lot of research on this. As I mentioned, there's a lot of issues that are related to transportation that people are concerned about. But a really key one is the pocketbook expense. And if you saw this week Joe Courtwright's work, he just came out with a report showing that in comparison to other metropolitan areas of similar sizes in the United States, the average Portland metropolitan resident drives about 4 miles less a day. And that's a few minutes less a day. But when you add that up cumulative, that comes out to a cost savings in terms of the cost of gas and operation of your car, and then your time savings of about $2.6 billion a year in this region, dollars that stay in our community and are used here. So that's a main message that people really get. They understand that. The other message is that making one less car trip a week is actually very easy to do, and a lot of it's just the old make your list before you leave the house kind of ideas. Something that we run into a lot of times. And it's one car trip a week will actually lead to about a 5% reduction in congestion. 5% reduction. If everybody did that, we'd have about a 5% reduction, which is the difference really between a holiday traffic levels and a weekday traffic levels is about 5%, and that has a big impact on the mobility of the roads. So let's go on to the next one here. How we've done, as well as the mass media stuff, we've done a lot of outreach and events, 166 events, as you see here. Over 10,000 contacts of farmers markets. In the Portland itself, more than 5,000 people have been talked to by the campaign, and 1,700 Portland residents have signed campaign pledge cards to reduce their single-person car trips. And there's a list of area events that we attended in your community, in your packet there. And totally, again, as I said, over 10,000 people have been talked to, and we don't have a slide this time on the earned media, which is all the newspaper coverage. Which is another thing, too, is that all the newspapers have covered this as a news story, as well as the radio and the television. And the final slide here is talking about a project you guys do, which is the Smart Trips project. Metro has been a part of this development, this idea, helped fund the initial test pilot project, as you guys did, and we're currently funding a grant from the MTIP process to support your Smart Trips outreach program in Milwaukee. This one is different. This is individualized marketing. If you're not familiar with it, it actually contacts people individually and offers them information, in contrast to the kind of the mass media message of the other part of this program. And they're very complementary. One is to get people the basic idea. This one here delivers directly to people services. And as you see here, it's very effective in getting people to shift. And these are documented results, which are really good. The mass media, again, is something that gets a general sense there, the general message, the general motivation to do something. Programs like this and other ones like this in the region are helpful because they actually get people to make that jump. So it is another part that's very important in terms of being complementary. We also work with the Transportation Management Associations. We help fund that through the regional funding as well. Deloitte TMA and Swan Island are the two that are within the Portland city limits. We're looking at a new Transportation Management Association, South Waterfront. I'm sure you've heard from Rick Williams, who represents the Lloyd Center TMA, about their great success in reducing single occupancy trips. And I think they've gone from something like 11% transit ridership to over 40%. Their bicycle ridership's very high, relatively. And so they've done a lot of work in terms of promoting these ideas out there. Of course, when you put parking meters on the street, that can help too. But, so it's a combinations of strategies that get people to take other options with all the positive benefits that we see. We save money, we reduce air pollution and climate gases, we also reduce the strain on the system and the demand for the services that we provide through the transportation system. So that's it. We want to just, in conclusion, thank you very much for your partnership in this and your support and your work in terms of getting this message out to your employees and your citizens. And if you have any questions, we're here to answer them.
But I think one question that we've talked about is how do we measure the results of this? And I know we're still relatively early in the effort, but what do you foresee as being able to look at as measurements?
Well, we actually have a survey out. I'm not sure. We're almost ready with the data, but Pam, the kind of preliminary information we've gotten so far.
Yeah, we'll look at the recall. So do people remember hearing these messages? And then of those who remember hearing the messages, do they remember where they heard them? And also the key question is, did they take any action? And so we should have that information. Bob Moore did that study for us, and we should have that within the next couple of weeks, and we'd be real happy to share that.
And that's we really do want to make sure that these have results. And as you know, with the keep forgetting the new name, TripSmart?
Smart Trips.
Smart Trips, okay. It's changed names a few times. There always has an evaluation component to it, which I think is really important. And we insisted that this had an evaluation component too. It's not a huge amount of money. I think it's about $1.6 million a biennium is what we're receiving from the Department of Transportation to do this, compared to their budget, which is up in the $1 billion a year type of thing. So it's a small amount of money, but we do want to make sure it actually has impact. And it's also, we produce materials that are not place specific. So they're being used in Bend, in the Rogue Valley, actually in Vancouver and Clark County, where the linkages are added then to the messages too, so that the local jurisdictions can share information that are very specific, but the materials we try to make sure that they can be used all throughout the state as a way to also be smart about using money.
Go ahead.
Rex, you mentioned, I guess it was a Joe Cartwright study that said we'd drive 4 miles less. Was that a per day figure?
Per day.
Is that compared to a previous point in time or a national norm?
No, this is, I believe he compared it to 33 similar sized metropolitan areas throughout the country. Okay. And we're actually one of the few metropolitan areas where that number has actually been dropping over time. Most places, it's increasing, and it's a combination of our land use policies that keep us having compact development and jobs and housing close to each other, as well as providing transportation options for people. But ultimately, it results in less time spent in the car, less time driving, and therefore savings in time and money.
Great. Other questions?
Well, in closing, I just want to thank you for the great partnership between our Travel Smart program and this program. We really appreciate it.
Great. And it's even okay to ride your bike on a rainy day. Just wear your rain gear. Thanks very much.
Thank you, folks, very much. I'm going to move to the regular agenda. Please read item 879.
Authorize revenue bonds to finance cost of archive space.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read item 880.
Authorize interim financing of new owner-occupied first mortgages.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read item 881.
Authorize an interagency agreement with the Portland Development Commission to administer the City Home Ownership Revolving Line of Credit.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read item 882.
Authorize revenue bonds to finance cost of improvements to Portland International Raceway.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read item 883.
Create a new non-represented classification of parks and recreation, central services, and asset system manager.
Staff?
David Reese from the Bureau of Human Resources. This was meant to be on the consent agenda. We apologize for it slipping on the regular agenda. I'm here for any questions you may have. It is a first reading item.
Questions from the commissioners? Anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 884.
Authorize a contract with Sladen Construction Group, Inc., for construction services for the Mount Tabor and Washington Park Interim Security and Deferred Maintenance Project.
Maybe I could say a couple things before you guys get started, just kind of more globally to have the council kind of understand the policy approach that we're taking with this effort. We have made a concerted effort in the last 2 years to make sure our Water Bureau facilities are secure, but do it in a way that is actually that actually takes advantage of the public using those resources. And so for an example, at Washington Park Reservoir, which is included in some of the work that's going to be done here, we've actually, as opposed to building bigger fences or making it less accessible, opened up the fences to make the public have better access to the reservoir to walk around the perimeter of it. And the theory being from some of our security folks that actually having responsible people be able to walk around the reservoir gets more eyes and ears to see what's going on versus actually closing it in so that if somebody snuck in, they're pretty sure that nobody can see what they're doing because we've locked all the responsible people out. We're building a first-class fence at Washington Park, which is in part of this project, that reflects the character and the flavor of our reservoirs, doing similar kind of work at Mount Tabor. And this has been an effort, Mike, for 18 months that you've been working on, just bringing all of this together? And there are a number of different projects this falls underneath, but the idea is actually to be smarter about how we do security and have the public actually be unaware of some of the measures that are actually keeping our water system secure. So I really appreciate the work that's gone on this. This has been a very challenging task.
Thank you for the overview. And for the record, I'm Jeff Barron, the Director of the Bureau of Purchases. And good morning, Mayor Potter and members of City Council. Just to do a couple of quick overview, again, related to the solicitation process that we went through. We did come back last March for requesting an exemption from the competitive low bid process and using an alternative procurement process, which was the construction manager general contractor process, of which we issued a request for proposal and received three responses. And we're here before you this morning to request approval to execute a contract with Sladen Construction Group. And just a couple of other things, we've been working with the Water Bureau and Sladen Construction to identify, and they've agreed to a goal of 35% for minority women and emerging small business participation in subcontracting and performing this work, which would equate to roughly about $7 million worth of subcontracting work. And they do have a current city business license, and they are currently in delayed status for the equal benefit requirements until February next year, 2008, to allow for them to open enrollment period, and they've agreed to extend the domestic partner benefits to their employees at that time. So with that, I'll pause, and if Mike wants to say anything about the project, too, and address any questions you might have.
A couple of other comments here. That this was really a challenging contract to put together an award. We had originally anticipated this being two contracts, and we got a no-bid situation on an $11 million contract. And the reason is this is pretty high-tech, complicated work. It's in a challenging spot. We're very careful about Mount Tabor. And at the time, still continues today, the construction market is going great guns. And so we worked with Jeff to figure out, well, we need to make this thing a little bit bigger maybe to get some larger firms to bid. So we combined Washington Park and the Mount Tabor contracts, working with purchasing. And then Mary Ellen Collentine, our principal engineer that manages most of our work out at Mount Tabor, went on a recruiting mission to get folks to bid on this contract. We really need to do this work. I think we're very, very lucky in putting this package together because we've got an exceptionally good contractor, and we're also doing some really, I think, cool things. As part of this, we're going to put in a green street on 59th Street. They've done an excellent job of listening to the city's message on emerging small business, women and minority contractors, and I really hope you approve the award of this contract.
Questions from the commissioners? Is there a sign-up sheet?
I did not have one.
What is the certified numbers? What are the certified numbers?
We don't have those yet. We're working with them, but they've agreed to achieve the 35% participation goal. Great. So we'll be back to you to report on that.
Good.
And I can, they're an exceptionally good contractor. They'll deliver.
Is anybody here who wishes to testify on this matter? It's a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, again, I appreciate this really unique approach. I mean, it has, for some professionals, actually run contrary to what they consider to be good security for our water system. But with Dave Austin, who is the head of our security, spent his most of his career with the Portland Police Bureau, and the great work of others who gave different perspectives on how you actually provide good security and make it more accessible to the public. This is going to be one of those fun projects, I think, that improves the water delivery system but enhances the security and keeps Portland the way we all like Portland to be, and that is accessible, open to the public, and beautiful. So thank you very much. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Potter.
Thank you. Vote aye. Please read item 885.
Authorize a master agreement with Motorola, Inc. for as-needed acquisition of public safety communication equipment and services.
I'm requesting this item be pulled back to the mayor's office. Please read item 886.
Apply for an $858,055 Justice Assistance Grant from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, Office of Justice Programs to reduce crime and improve public safety.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 887.
Authorize a $100,000 grant to the Oregon Council of Hispanic Advancement for developing programs for Latino educational and workplace advancement.
Mr. Leonard?
Thank you very much, Mayor Potter. This is more of a technical ordinance. The council authorized this $100,000 in the budget last time. This ordinance actually just technically gives us the authority to disperse the funds to OCHA. They approached me during the budget process because of a number of issues. They were fearful of having to close down their school. I went to the mayor immediately after meeting with this group, and he was, from the moment that I spoke with him till now, very enthusiastically supportive of this disbursement, which of course makes it much easier to put the necessary resources together to be able to help OCHA. There is a wonderful organization. Actually, the mayor, I think, has actually been there. I have not been there. So hopefully he can share some of his insights about the program. But I certainly do know the people that care about it and care that it be available for Hispanic youth to give them alternatives to lives that sometimes aren't as productive as they could be. So thank you, Mayor Potter, for your help on this. And I'm really happy to be able to bring this forward.
Questions from the commissioners?
Just to add to the observation, I spent a day there a year ago and was very impressed with the program, so I'm glad we're helping them out in a time of need. Thank you.
Yes, they have a night class to get your GED, and it's an excellent program, well attended, and they go a long ways towards meeting a lot of the immediate needs within the Hispanic community. So it's a good organization. It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Did we have anybody here to testify on the matter?
No one signed up.
Okay. Please read item 888.
Update cable communication regulations.
It's a second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 889.
Authorize contract with 2KG contractors for $929,087 for the combined pool improvements to Matt Dishman, Mount Scott, and Southwest Community Centers and Pier Pools.
Second reading, call the vote, please.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We're adjourned until next week.
Good job.
Stand up.
See you this afternoon?
Yeah.
Are you going to...